first of many for DC2 Ferguson. And we make multiple trips and our a half a bottle of milk of magnesium, half a bottle of water, tips that we learned from Gaza, by the way. And that, those symptoms really work because I was sprayed by someone else and I was spraying people as well. That
Chuck,
stuff
I got to interrupt you with an important detail,
yeah,
if I could.
Yeah.
When you say, because it's so relevant to the times we're living in right now.
Yeah.
When you seen people read it online, people in Gaza said to people in Ferguson, this is what you need to do. That's an important thing.
No,
that's an
you're
important
right.
point.
It is an important. No, people from Gaza, you have to remember July 2014 was the incredible Gaza massacre. And the first time I went out in D.C. to cover a Free Palestine protest. I know some people act like these Free Palestine protests just started in 2023 because they didn't see it on CNN. But we've been at this for quite some time. And in 2014, you had that massacre. And this is back to back. So this is already, you know, together. And though that connection was made, and people from Gaza were saying to us, like personally on social media, this is what you need to do. You need to put half a bottle of milk of magnesium, half a bottle of water together. By the way, RIP Bassem Lowry, who was a protester and independent media in Ferguson there, who passed a few years ago, was one of the leading voices. The Palestinian did great media work, a leading voice. And I thought of him when I went to the police department Friday night, and you had protesters hanging up a flag, and in the middle of that flag wrote Mike Brown forever. This is what a protest were hanging out 10 years later. And so the rest of the world, sometimes people separated, but in Ferguson, those two stories were linked because they were shared experiences about around the same time with it, because we're talking all Palestinians are getting massacred. So what happened is those sort of movements melded together at that time. So that is an important point.
Yeah.
I didn't get to the big story yet, but that's an important point.
No, and just before you get to the big story, and we're here, of course, on WPFW, The Collision. We are pledging Collision. Support our show. Support this network, please. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. We're talking to Chuck Modiano about his experience just coming back from Ferguson, 10th anniversary of Michael Brown Jr., that really, in many respects, launched what we came to know as the Black Lives Matter movement, what people on the ground were saying about the state of the movement. I'm very curious about that. But first, just a little addition to what you just said. Correct me if I'm wrong, but on the walls that are used to imprison and colonize the people of Gaza, wasn't there even a graffiti mural in tribute of Michael Brown?
Yes, Michael Brown, George Floyd as well. If you go in various tributes to Michael Brown, there is are tributes to George Floyd, beautiful mural. That happened. There was, this shared experience. And then if you want to go a little bit further, and I recommend people put in 2019, folks from Jewish Voice for Peace put me onto this. There's a report, 57 pages, called The Deadly Exchange, about American forces going to get trained in Israel and coming back and using these tactics. It's not symbolic when someone says an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. I understand the MLK quote, and that's said in a symbolic way. This is a little more tangible and direct and linear than that. They're going to Israel to learn these tactics. And when you speak to folks on the Stop Cop City movement and the proliferation of about at least 69 more cop cities that are planning to be built at a time when crime wave is down, and you understand what that is about, is that they're turning these cop cities are really planned to become mini Gazas. And I kid you not. And there's a lot of data and a lot of quotes by police officers who go to Israel and they come back raving about what they learned, including former police chief of D.C., Kathy Lanier, raving about it. Mayor Bowser went over to Israel to see how they police as well. You could go all around the country. And then if you go to Atlanta, and maybe part of the reason the Atlanta activists are so in tune, taught me a lot about the movement, is that they have a program called the Gilley Program run out of Georgia State University for over 20 years, inspired by the 1996 Olympics, by the way. And they have had the cross-training in maybe the most overt way with Israel and publicized way. And you could go on a website and hear all their quotes of what they learned about surveillance and tactics and really how to teach American police to treat Americans, primarily Black and Brown Americans, and eventually poor white Americans, more like Palestinians. That is a real thing. And so when someone tells me, well, you're making this up. Oh, this sounds like a conspiracy. You're making an admission about your lack of knowledge. Your lack of knowledge and your lack of information is not my character flaw. It's because you haven't done the work. Unfortunately, because the news media doesn't talk about it, you have to put in the work. So put in the work before you come back and say some dumb stuff.
Well, the media has to air live uninterrupted Trump press conferences. So, there's not a lot of time to explain the world. But Chuck, you said a second ago that there was the big story. And I have more questions just about what we've been through. But I don't want to, I'm sure our listeners are on the edge of their seats now.
Yeah.
Like you said, I haven't even gotten to the big story. So
I haven't even gotten to it.
Before I ask my follow-ups to what you've already said, okay. Let's give the people what they want. What is the big story? What is the real story?
So here's the big story. This is going on all Friday. It's love. And in my head, I'm staying for Monday. I'm going to spend all the weekend going to these events, interviewing family members and other individuals who lost family. Because Big Mike Brown, what he does is he uses platforms to highlight all these other families nobody knows about who have lost loved ones. He's always done that. So there's a lot of love for him in there. However, Friday night, we are at the police station. And for most of the night, there's a portion, I'm trying to say, maybe 50, 60, 100. It's hard to say. And I know probably 80% of the people there. And again, it's really loving. There's drums going on, people doing chants, Mike Brown memes. We got the fight back. And it's all going like that. And somewhere around between 11 and midnight, some protesters go across the street. They start shaking the fence. There's that. They start shaking the fence. And then, a couple of protesters dislodge a bottom piece of the fence. And that's what happened. And they bring that into the street. And this is the extent of the quote-unquote property damage that happened, right? So I'm going to come back to that, of how the police should have handled that. But here's what the police did. They ran up the lot. I mean, like gangbusters. And we're chasing a specific person. His name is Elijah Gant. At the time, we don't know that because so many times when the Ferguson police ran up that lot, everyone scrambles because you don't know who they're going to try to snatch, who they're going to try to grab. It's chaos. But they sent a whole bunch of officers up the lot in a very violent manner. There's an officer with a rifle out. There's another officer doing his hand on his gun. They're pushing people. What would be assault if it happened to them? And what it turns out is, the big story is, there's a van, and our cameras, including my own, are sort of obstructed, and something happens behind that van. And what happens is a police officer is knocked out. That police officer hits his head on the back of concrete. Really a tragic accident. I believe it's the situation happened, 19 out of 20 times. It doesn't happen that way. He hits his head on the back of a concrete, has traumatic brain injury. According to the police, he is quote unquote fighting for his life. And some reports he has gotten a little better. His name is Officer Brown. And most of us believe at that time, including myself, that he tripped and fell. And the reason we believe he tripped and fell was because there were all these police officers, at least through my video and other videos, that ran to get Elijah. And then all of a sudden you see him sort of tackled behind a van. What we did not know is that Officer Brown was posted up behind the van. And what we could not see in any of our videos. And I stayed after Friday night. I stayed for 3 days and scrapped all my plans to, celebratory interviews and to find out what's happening, 10th anniversary, and just play detective. So I started interviewing witnesses, anyone who was on that lot. Can I see your video? Can I look at your video? Show it to me. What did you see? And so we're just trying to collect information. Ideally, I wish it would have stayed a little bit longer. So what happens is now you have a police officer fighting for their life. And what they're saying is they're charging this young man with assault on this police officer. They're stacking charges, $500,000 bail. Anyone who grieved as much as grazed the cop are getting arrests. They've had two emotional press conferences talking about the police officer fighting for their life. And the narrative is that the protesters are the ones, and particularly Elijah Gant, and I had never met Elijah before. It was the first time I saw him there, whereas I knew most people. But Elijah Gant is the reason why this protester, why this officer is in this condition. Of course, I want this officer to get better. I'm never going to sink to the low level of humanity of the police department when they shoot or they kill a young person. I want him to get better. He has kids. So I want that to happen. But here we are. But the protesters have a very different point of view, and I share this point of view. And that point of view is two or three things. First of all, the going gangbusters, having a felony response to a misdemeanor of a detached fence was wild. It was absolutely wild. The next day, they charged different protesters using their own drone footage to ID people who were involved in attaching a fence, and they issued warrants. They could have just done that for Elijah. They didn't have to send a whole gang of cops. They could have just done that in a peaceful night. It would have been a piece of a fence that was in front of a street. They could detach it back. I went the next day. They did attach it while I was there. There wasn't a new piece. Two repairmen there in a couple hours. Boom. They put it up. I know I'm well familiar with those sports riots where I've seen cops just stand there and just watch all kinds of crazy mayhem because they made a calculated decision that if we move into this situation, it could be worse, that it could put more people in danger, that it's gasoline on the fire. And the Ferguson Police Department chose to put gasoline on the fire. And Wesley Bell, yeah, that Wesley Bell is stacking up charges in crazy ways, in ways that he didn't do for a woman officer a couple of years ago in Ladue who shot someone. I mean, I could get all into that. Julia,
I'm sorry, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm filibustering, man.
No. This is good. It's just we got to keep our audience along with us. Wesley Bell.
Yeah.
You threw the name out there. Just want to make sure for people to know. Tell everybody who Wesley Bell is. And jeepers, why has he been in the news in recent days?
Wesley Bell has been in the news in recent days because he took anywhere from $10 million to $20 million from AIPAC dollars in order to defeat Cori Bush. He once promised he wouldn't run against Cori Bush, and he did. But what people in Ferguson know Wesley Bell for something different before this week. The nation knows Wesley Bell this week, this past week. But people in Ferguson know that to get rid of the racist Bob McCullough, who's the one who really worked to help exonerate Darren Wilson and was the DA, Ferguson activists helped bring Wesley Bell to power. And Mike Brown Sr. was under the impression that he would reopen the case. He led them to believe he would reopen the case. If you ask Big Mike Brown about Wesley Bell right now, you see him clench up. He almost like, he almost has hatred you could feel. And he's like, I'm not talking about Wesley Bell. He's like, he's angry, visibly angry, because that's how he got the power. And once Wesley Bell got the power, he's almost like Bob McCullough 2.0. There's no difference. It helped his career. And there was a case in 2021 with the police officer Julia Cruz, who they said she mistakenly pulled a gun instead of her taser. And it ended up in settlement. It ended up in no charges. And today, Wesley Bell, after Monday, is stacking charges like crazy. It's one of his last acts before he goes into Congress. And he's been a disaster. Even beyond the AIPAC, beyond the Cori Bush, he's been a disaster. So, I mean, I have to put that out there. And he's doing that right now. So because he's doing that right now, what is being untold about the situation is not just what I just told you. They didn't have to go out there. But Ferguson police has released video. And in that video, they make a sound. They do a slow-mo that Elijah Gant ran into him. And I've seen other video, maybe they even haven't seen. He's running at full speed and a bunch of cops are chasing him. Then there's a van between the sidewalk and the wall. And unbeknownst to him, and he doesn't see him, Officer Gant is posted up, in my opinion, putting Officer Brown, putting him in a dangerous situation. So I don't think Barry Sanders has the ability to avoid a collision. It's in my view, it's an unavoidable collision. And you could even see in the Andy Warren parking lot video, Officer Brown slides a little bit right to block him as he's going a little bit right. So that, like, he wasn't blocking formation. It's a tragic accident, in my opinion, that he falls and he hits the back of his head. And everything is based on when he hit his head on the ground. Okay? So that happened. And instead of calling it a tragic accident, instead of treating it maybe like how you did Officer Julia Cruz, who got diversion training or something. They're throwing the book at this young man, Elijah Gantt, that he may spend a long time in prison, because they're in sort of retaliatory mode, vengeful mode. Anyone involved who grazed the cop are getting silly charges. What it was a tragic accident. But then there's something that no one's really reported on, and that is what happened after. What happened after is they're about nearly 4 minutes before Officer Brown is put into a police car, not an ambulance, a police car, and they're grabbing him with arms and legs everywhere, and I'm filming some of it. Why are you putting him into a police car not an ambulance when there was just an ambulance there? Someone had a seizure about half an hour earlier. Why are you doing that? There are multiple reports of him being dropped on the way. And then I saw, him being stuffed into this police car. He's a very big man. And someone say, watch his head. It was a bumbling, stumbling Keystone Cops. And if there was ever a time he needed good medical attention, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if he had to be stabilized first with a board.
This is ridiculous. Of course it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Any sort of head injury, you need to be lying in a horizontal fashion. Yeah. With support around the neck. Yeah. My best buddy's an EMT. That's 101. The idea of pretzeling him into a police car injury, that doesn't even make sense.
That's what they were doing. They were pretzeling him. I'm going to use that word. Thank you. They were pretzeling him into a police car, but they dropped him a couple times on the way. And you know what? The neglect afterwards, almost a level of criminal neglect by the police officer. And we have to understand, we're across from the police station, and then the fire station, they have an ambulance right there. And the ambulance was literally right there just a little bit earlier, someone having a seizure. And this is what they're doing. And what I'm asking is, why is this happening? And what those 4 minutes, how much did they contribute to the condition that he's in? So when I take the unmitigated, unneeded, needless violence that happened beforehand, and when I take the neglect that happened after, and then I take their plan to catch Elijah, which was wrought with danger, it is my view that the reason Officer Brown is in the condition that he is in is by the action and the inaction by the Ferguson Police Department. That's the reason that they made decisions, and those decisions in this particular case harmed one of their own officers, and they did not have to make those decisions. That's not the story. The story is a very different story so far, and I've been holding video back, and others have been holding some video back, and I've been holding comments back because we wanted to wait for the statements. We wanted to wait for the PAMs, which just came out the last couple of days.
Chuck, and I want to stop you there just because it's the bottom of the hour, and I want to hear about this video that you're holding back, but I think people will wait to listen to it. We just give some indication how people can support this kind of incredible storytelling that you're giving to us right now. Ooh, a tale of two Browns is what I keep hearing, like how the Ferguson Police Department, just the violence and incompetence over 10 years. It's like what's really changed. Well, what is definitely not going to change is our commitment to bringing you, the listener, the best in independent media and the best that intersection where sports and politics come together here on The Collision. But we have a mission here at WPFW, and you hear us say it all the time, changing the world one broadcast at a time. This broadcast could change the world, the one you're listening to right now, if it makes people more vigilant, more knowledgeable, more honest, and more clear-headed and clear-sighted about what we need to do to bring justice to our neighborhoods and to our streets. And you, the listener, can help us continue in that task. Katia, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just want to encourage folks to call and support The Collision right now, 800-222-9739. Or if you're on the website, you might be already at work, you're on the computer, or maybe just browsing on the computer, now's a great time to hop over to our website, wpfwfm.org. You can also use Cash App, $WPFWFM, and make sure you put the name of the program, The Collision. And if you would, also put your full name and your email address. That would be wonderful. This is really the kind of reporting, Dave and Chuck, that you all, and of course, Eitan and Coach, when you all are all together, but that you bring to our air every week. This is the on-the-ground reporting that so sorely needs to happen. Just really, and all of these places we're talking about where there is oppression, we have to have reporters who are on the ground reporting on the people, reporting on what's happening, bringing it to you unfiltered, unembedded, and that is what the Collision does. And they do it for both sports and politics, and we love them for it. So now is the time to show your appreciation. We still have a goal of $500. Won't you move the needle this morning? Get us started at 800-222-9739. You can also become a sustaining member, so you can do it over 10, 20, 30 level. And we get credited this morning for the entire amount, and you pay monthly. But however you connect with us, please do so right now. We need your support. The Collision does fine work. They're only really, Chuck is only scratching the surface with this report. And of course, report coming out of Paris, we're going to hear that. But do what you can to support liberatory medium, because that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
This information helps all of us to calibrate how we're going to move in the world, what we're going to prioritize and not prioritize, what we're looking for in a so-called leader. You know, all of these conversations and these facts is what gets us to a better world. So do your part by supporting the Collision. You can, you know, you can become an activist very easily by simply picking up the phone. And if you're someone who has done well and wants to do great for the community, for all of us, then now is the time to pledge your support. $500 to go, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.
And that's beautifully put. I'll throw out for all our locals too. I believe you can also call 202-588-9739.
Yep.
In addition, isn't that great?
That is so right. Yep.
Excellent. In addition to 1-800-222-9739. Oh, every bit of help, it really does help, because we need this kind of news, especially in this era of fake news and disinformation, the uses of AI. I mean, we're being hit with a maelstrom of fake news as a way to what they call it, flooding the zone with BS, is what people like Steve Bannon call it, the far right wing architect. And the idea is that if they just fill our ears and our minds with enough lies, we then become unable to distinguish between truth and lie. It is really, really nefarious and frankly evil. But this is their open and clear political strategy. So that's why it's so important to have media outlets and individuals that you know you can trust. And I promise you, you'll always be able to trust Chuck Modiano. You'll always be able to trust me. You'll always be able to trust Katia Stitt. Like, we are people you can trust, and that's invaluable. So please help us support keeping this on the air. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. Chuck, back to you, sir. Because I'm still on the edge of my seat. You said there is more to the story, and that there's footage that is being withheld. Can you please tell us what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the footage is sort of the mayhem that they created. I mean, I ran to see Elijah. So, I mean, I have footage of Elijah just being choked with a flashlight. I'm like right there. And normally I have my phone sideways, but in this particular case, which would have been better, but I had it up because my phone was up when everything started. And in that phone picture where I have Elijah sort of being choked in the back, I could see Officer Brown now with his feet in the back on the sidewalk. There were a number, I don't know if it was 20 seconds, that they didn't even know he was, you know, knocked out. And what we have, assault by police of being shoving protesters, which would be called assault if protesters did it. And then they gave charges to the people who were shoved, and some people were arrested. I started looking at other people's videos. We saw pictures of a guy, open rifle. Like, why do you have this open rifle there? Another a cop putting his hand on his gun there. And all of this created very high tension, created a very anxious atmosphere, intense atmosphere, and just the way they all ran up on the lot. And now I know both sides. I was looking at one side, but we know, because Officer Brown and other cops came through the other side of the van. All of this over a piece of the detached bottom of a fence that was removed. And you're like, my goodness, you created this mess. You created this danger. It didn't have to be that way. But what you're going to see when these videos are collected is their incredible lack of professionalism. And then they're in creating a dangerous environment, and you're going to see their incredible neglect. And the problem is that, you know, you have to make a decision as media. And pretty much everybody on that lot was either a protest or independent media. And almost everybody sort of say, okay, I'm not going to put out video that I have of the incident. And what happens when you do that is you lose the narrative battle. But there's a legal battle, right? Mm-hmm. So like to use a juxtaposition, one of the reasons Darren Wilson is free today is that he lost the narrative battle, but he won the legal battle. And what he did is he filled out a blank police report, which I don't, it should be like fired on the spot, should be illegal. You know what I mean? I once had a fender bender and I did a 2-page police report for my company, but he had a blank police report. And for 3 months, he watched and heard every single interview and everyone poured out and said this and said that. Then he went to a rigged grand jury. Google witness number 40 if you don't believe me. He went to a rigged grand jury and crafted his statements in that hidden grand jury around everything that was already heard. So, you know, Darren Wilson won the legal battle even when he lost the narrative battle. Well, we have a young man who might face decades in prison. And we want him to win the legal battle. And sometimes you have to, you know, withhold certain information and wait for the cop statements to come out and wait for reports to come out, which in a way, that is how, like, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Matthew Michael Slager in South Carolina, the man who shot Walter Scott in the back.
Sure.
That's the way he got 20 years. The reason he got 20 years is not for shooting someone in the back. The reason he got 20 years is because the young man who filmed him was scared the police would retaliate, and he held back the video. And then they wrote a bunch of lies and cover up on the report, say that he went to grab the taser, and the other cop corroborated his report as well. The other cop was even a black cop, and he corroborated his report. And once that young man saw the report, he said, hey, no, I'm going to put out the video. Cop getting 20, yeah, and then it contradicted everything in the report. So now the cop can't say, I was scared for my life. Now the cop can't say, make some stuff up. He lied through and through. So I think the lesson is anytime you get video of a cop, you have to wait. But here's the flip side, though. When you lose the narrative battle and, you know, the TV and everyone has the local community up in arms, how did they do this to this cop? He was assaulted and he's fighting for his life. Now they start stacking charges, right? Now they start, it builds up a emotional response in St. Louis, and now Wesley Bell, who's still the DA, is stacking charges. So it's this delicate, you know, back and forth. When is the right time to release, you know, media? I try to look to lawyers for that. But I think you're going to start seeing now video to show, really show both their incompetence, their violence, and their neglect. And the fact that, in my view, that it was an unavoidable collision, a tragic accident. It's not that they set him up in a way. Set him up in a way to put even Officer Brown at risk. If you want to say he's resisting arrest, fine, charge him for resisting arrest. You want to say he dislodged the fence, charge him for that. But to send him away,
I like it loud. I'm the man with the box that can rock the crowd. Walking like the song, you sing along, and your radio's deaf when my record's on. So get off the wall, become involved. All your radio problems have now been solved. My treacherous beats make your ears respond, and my radio's loud like a fire alarm. The floor vibrates, the wall cave in, the bass makes my eardrum seem thin. Death sounds in my ride, yes, the front and back. You would think it was a party, not a Cadillac. Savage beast, the level on my power meter will not decrease. Suckers get mad cause the girlies scream, and I'm still getting paid. Why you look at me mean? I'm the leader of the show, keeping you on the go, but I know I can't live without my radio. I'm the leader of the show, keeping you on the go, and I know I can't live without my radio. Don't touch that dial, I'll be upset. Might go into a bitch, rip off your neck, cause the radio's thumping when I'm down to play. I'm the royal chief rocker, LL Cool J. Watch a big butt bounce from right to left, cause it's an actual fact, this jam is death. Most definitely created by me, going down in radio history. I'm good to go on your radio, and I'm cold getting paid cause Rick said so. Make the woofers wallop and your tweeters twist. Some jealous knuckleheads might try to diss, but it's nothing, you're button, your girl. Circulating through your radio nonstop. I'm looking at the wires behind the cassette, and now I'm on the right, standing on the eject. Wearing light blue Pumas, a whole lot of gold, and jams like these keep me in control. I'm the leader of the show, keeping you on the go, and I know I can't live without my radio. Your energy level starts to increase as my big beat is slowly released. Radio and at the jam, LL Cool J is who I am. I'ma make you dance, boogie down and rock, and a scratch and shape to my musical plot, and to expand my musical plan, co-creator, rock the beat with your hand. On the block with my box cold kicking with the gangsta rock. See, people can't stop me, neither can the police. I'm a musical maniac to say the least. For you and your radio, I made this for Cool J's here to devastate once more. Pulling all the girls, taking out MCs. If you try to disrespect me, I just say please. Here to command the hip hop land, kick it live with a box inside my hand. I'm the leader of the show, keeping you on the go, but I know I can't live without my radio.
Here on the Collision, I'm Dave Zirin. We're going to get Chuck Modiano on the line to finish up this conversation that we're having about Elijah Gant, a young man in Ferguson, Missouri, who looks like he's in serious peril after an injury of a police officer named Michael Brown. Not Michael Brown, I'm so sorry, Officer Brown. The irony of the last name being Brown when they're there to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the police killing of Michael Brown should not be lost on anybody. But we're pledging to you on the Collision is that we are going to keep up with Elijah Gant's story so folks can know how they can support and not have more tragedy come out of Ferguson. Katia Sid, are you there with me, please? Okay, if Katia's not here, that's totally okay, because what I'm going to do is make a big push
back
for folks to support the Collision. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 to support the show so we can give you this kind of news, so we can update you on what's going on, so we could give you that street-level reporting that you just don't get anywhere else. Chuck, are you there with me, sir?
I'm here, and I filibustered, and we haven't heard about Olympics.
Oh, Chuck, I can only hear you really faintly there, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Let me try something playing B, and you tell me if it's any better. What about now?
Still super faint, but I have a feeling I know what you just said.
What about now? Still a little faint, but I have a feeling I know what you just said. You said you wanted to hear a little bit about the Olympics.
I want to hear about the Olympics. I filibustered. We could pick it up next week. Tell us about the Olympics.
Yeah, we're going to pick it up next week more about the Olympics, but I have to say, Chuck, and I hope you can hear me clearly. I hope the people can hear me clearly. Yeah. That the reporting that you're doing out of Ferguson is so incredibly important, and I'm actually honored that we get to talk about it here on The Collision. I look forward to the day that all of your footage does get released, edited, put together, so people can really see this in its totality, and you and I should talk about that more. I also have to say that the echoes of what you're talking about are really strong in terms of what I experienced in Paris for the Olympics, because... If you know anything about me, if you know anything about this show, you know that I wasn't going to, like, you know, seeing the sporting events and, you know, seeing the breakdancing competition, although, you know, I'm sure me and Mike could have a long discussion about that. I don't know if Mike saw the breakdancing competition, but...
If that's what you want to call it.
You did see some of it then, didn't you?
I saw the same thing that you saw, my brother.
What was that?
The lady in green. Please.
I don't even know what that was.
I don't know how she made it. I really, really don't.
I don't either. And I could tell you also, like, in the subways and metros of Paris, on some cardboard, I saw better breakdancing.
No doubt. But you know they're not having it at the next Olympics in LA.
They're not going to have breaking at the next Olympics?
Nope. They've already announced it.
Smart. Frankly. Because that was a train wreck of, and you, like, it would have been
the top.
Wow. And like some of what I saw off the scenes, but I also this is that the number of women gymnasts, like, we've never had a more multicultural gymnastics Olympics team, led of course by the great Simone Biles, and all of that traces back to Silver Spring, Maryland's own Dominie Dawes.
Yes, sir.
And 1988. I mean, it's about that. And, you know, Dominique Dawes, for people who don't know, like, she runs teaching and academy. She does so much incredible work in the community. And I heard they're going to have a statue of her soon. And when I heard that, I almost cried because it was just like, wow, talk about
giving
somebody their due. It's, you know, almost four decades after the fact. But when you're in a situation where you have someone like Simone Biles and Jordan Shiles and, I mean, it becomes undeniable the impact that Dominique Dawes had. And Simone Biles says it, that without Dominique Dawes, there's no me. And frankly, I think Simone Biles is arguably the greatest athlete that the United States has ever produced.
Wow.
My own little food for thought there.
That's some, you know, a big statement there, Dave.
Well, I'll just make the case really quick. There are five moves in gymnastics that are named after Simone Biles, officially.
Dang.
Because she is, exception occurred in these Olympics. She is the only person who can do those five moves. So it's like you got somebody training in, like, Romania, they call it, like, the Biles this or the Biles that. I mean, think about that for a second.
Like, that's amazing.
I heard it was on television. I can't remember what it was, but they were saying there's one move that she does that they tell their gymnast not to even try it,
mm-hmm.
because they could risk serious injury.
Too dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's risking serious injury. And then the other thing about Simone Biles is, you know, she's 27, and I know my people say, "Oh, 27, so young."
That's ancient
in gymnastics. That
is old.
So for her to be doing this stuff at age 27. Is amazing unto itself, even as weird a sentence as that might sound coming out of my mouth. But just very cool stuff top to bottom in that regards, in terms of local. You know, there's the young man, Quincy, who's 16 years old, medalist, coming out and talking about having to go back to high school in a few weeks. That part of it was very cool. And, next week, I'm going to talk about the bad and the ugly of all of this. But the good part was really good. And I got to say, as somebody who cares about this issue, the reception for Palestinian athletes was very moving. Was very moving. People really did care. They gave them all kinds of love and support, huge cheers in the opening ceremonies for the Palestinian athletes. Shion or box, judo was when I got to meet some of them. Their stories are all, as you might imagine, harrowing and heartbreaking as far as what they've had to do to get to this point of even being in Paris. I gave a little money yesterday to a GoFundMe of one of the Palestinian Olympic athletes who's trying to get his family out of Gaza. And I just got to tell you, it's an experience I'll never forget, straight up. And wow. I'm going to talk about this so much more next week. I'm going to, like, bleed your ears. I'm going to give you the good. I'm going to give you the bad. And I'm going to give you the ugly about Paris. And there was a lot of all three. But I can't do any of that stuff, man. I'm putting it out there.
We do have someone who supported Adrian Bell out of Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thank you so much for your generous 6 minutes to do it. 800-222-9739. We don't say it enough, and we mean to support you and the whole group of the collective of the Collision does that for you. Dave and Chuck and Eitan and Coach, they all do that. They support you. They bring you this news and information. We heard an amazing elf, and Dave just began to scratch the surface on what happened at the Paris Olympics, and he'll do more next week. So we ask you right now to support 6 minutes to go, $400 to still make the goal. And you can do that by becoming a sustaining member as well. You might be able to pledge the whole 400, but over time, that is perfect. You can pledge at the $10, $20, $50, $100 level. And if we have many of those folks and many hands make light work, we will be golden. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Chuck and Dave, thank you for your good work on and off our air.
Thank you so much for that, Katia. I'll put it out there as well when I say these magic words. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. Please give these last couple minutes, just a few minutes to go. I'll throw in another Olympic side note for folks of stuff you might not have understood when you were watching this. I know everybody was caught up in a lot of the stories around Imani Khalef. She's the boxer who won the gold, who was attacked with all sorts of racism, homophobia, transphobia, sexism, and she still won a gold, even going through all of that. One of the things that people did not talk about nearly enough, which I got front row seat, is that she's also Algerian. And people have to realize how incredibly important that was for the Algerian immigrants in France. I'll talk about that more next week. But, yo, we got to go right now. Last chance, everybody. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. For the great Chuck Modiano, whose work is beyond important. For Katia Stitt, who makes it all happen. For Mike Nasella, who absolutely makes it all happen. Hell yeah. Everybody out there, please stay frosty. I'm Dave Zirin. We are out of here. Peace.
Oh, yeah. Hey, friends, we are back again. Mark your calendars. On Saturday, August the 24th, WPFW will host the 15th annual Blues Festival featuring Clarence the Blues Man Turner, Jim Bennett with Jesse Terrell, Stacy Brooks, Low Rent Quartet, Reggie Right Eye, and the Missing Pieces, all at Lamont's Entertainment Complex, 4400 Livingston Road in Indian Head, Maryland. Event time is from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, go to eventbrite.com and search WPFW. Why, you ask? Because WPFW is building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Believe that.
My name is Anthony Rogers Wright, host of the new program, Full Spectrum, 360 degrees of analysis and discussion of domestic and global politics. This program also includes commentary and interviews with subject experts from around the country and the world. Full Spectrum also includes a segment called Burn Notice, offering listeners a rare and seldom take on the climate crisis from an unapologetically black perspective. That's Full Spectrum every Tuesday at 6 p.m. beginning August 12th, right here on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Renee Bowser, a staunch trade unionist and host of a new WPFW program, Unionism Drives Community, airing Thursdays at 5 p.m. We will share the importance of knowing your rights in the workplace, the impact of unionism on working class advancement beyond the workplace, and how unionism can activate robust community among all of us. That's Unionism Drives Community, Thursdays at 5 p.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
From Rahsaan Roland Kirk to Asada Shakur, WPFW has been your go-to for cultural and political education since 1977. Your contributions have allowed us to uphold the mission of liberatory media set forth by our founders. August 11th